Let us pray before we start. Lord, we give thanks for this wonderful morning, and we give thanks that you have given us the Bible, your word, to share your word with us. Lord, we give thanks that over 2,000 years ago, you left the Bible for us and for you to reveal yourself through your words. So today, as we dive into your words, we pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us and for us to open our hearts to receive your word. Amen. Last week, we heard from Pastor Wilbur about the importance of the Bible. We also heard from him sometimes why we don't read the Bible. He emphasized on the power of the living word, the importance of the word. And today, we'll be looking at the Bible from a different angle. We've established that the Bible is important, so now we need and we are about to be curious about the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's words. We also know that the Bible is life-giving. But honestly, how many of us reads the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and try to understand it all? We do not spend enough time. Why? Why do we not spend enough time to understand the Bible? We know the major parts of the Bible, and sometimes when we read the Bible, we tell ourselves, okay, this year, my New Year's resolution, it is to read from Genesis to Revelation. And I start reading, I go into Genesis, I go into Exodus, and then I'm stuck there. I'm stuck in the desert. I never really exited Egypt with the Israelites. I never entered into the Promised Land. And to be honest, I was one of those few. I go from Genesis to Exodus, and I'm stuck there. We know that the Bible, we have Genesis, we have Exodus, and then maybe we skip, and we go to, for some, maybe it's Joshua, Judges. Maybe for some, you go straight to 1 and 2 Samuel and Kings. And then you skip. Oh, we might read Esther, because Esther's kind of interesting. We have a feminine protagonist that she's really, wow. And what's next? Skip. You, Psalms and Proverbs. Oh, yes, I feel really energized by that. I'm really energized by Psalms, by Proverbs, wisdom, right? And then, I know that's major, minor prophets, but you know what? I'm going to skip. And then, oh, wait, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm at the Gospels. And Epistles. And, oh, wait, it's Revelations. I'm done with the Bible. It seems to be kind of a incomplete image, right? Like, it's not full. It's not complete. We know that the Bible is separated into two major parts. We have New Testament. We have Old Testament. And I think most of us would agree with me that the New Testament is a lot easier to read than the Old Testament. It's more relevant. It's about Jesus. God is so merciful. He's so full of grace. And it's about church life. It teaches me to solve the trials I face every day. And Old Testament, on the other hand, what does it talk about? Lineage, poems, visions, rules, laws, and what's more, God seems like he's always so angry. Always. He's so wrathful, so vengeful, so angry, he might be even called a jealous God. And that is why most of us don't read Old Testament. Things doesn't seem to be applicable to us. It's obsolete. But why do we not read? And why is it so important that we read? And Jesus even said, you know what? Old Testament is all about me. So if New Testament talks about Jesus, Old Testament talks about Jesus, do I even need the Old Testament? Do I need to read the whole Bible when Jesus is already in New Testament? It's confusing, right? And I was once like that. When I was young, I was like a little boy, and I go to church. Every Sunday school lesson about Old Testament, I'm like, yes, I like this story. Why? Because you get fantasy. You get science fiction. And you get all the interesting war stuff. From where do you see that? Fantasy from, you will open the Red Sea. Science fiction from where the water will come up from the rock. You get the walls of Jericho crumbling down as war. It's all of the different genres into one book. I don't have to go to the library anymore. But to me, Old Testament just remained as stories. There was no connection between Old Testament and who Jesus is. And I thought it was like a prequel to New Testament, much like The Hobbits was to Lord of the Rings series. So it's the before story. But is that what the Old Testament is all about? Just a prequel? Is it just something that we need to read or might want to read? If not, how are we supposed to view this? How are we supposed to look at the Old Testament? Storybook? Historical text? Let us explore that together today. Before we dive in deeper into the Word, let us first understand a bit of context. That time, the Jews, they believed that the Old Testament to them is the Bible. What the Bible is to us now is to them sacred text. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they treated the Old Testament with reverence. It was the holy text, they memorized it. Not just memorized it, they can quote it word for word. I can't do that. They kept the commandments. They were always also on the lookout for who the Messiah was. They were trying to find the coming of their king. They waited for the Messiah to appear in accordance to their understanding of the Old Testament. They waited for a king, a ruler, a conqueror. So for them who read the Old Testament so much and knew it so well, why did they not see Jesus for who he is? Let us keep in mind that Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes of the temple, they were the scholars, they were the professors, they were theologians, the ones who spent their entire lives reading the Bible, reading the Old Testament. They read, but they did not fully understand. They learn, but they did not fully comprehend. They memorize, but they did not fully see. They knew it so well, they could quote on such a level that I can only dream of. Knowing at like the back of their hands, they were the one who taught the Old Testament, the one who set up traditions according to the Old Testament teachings, yet they missed out on who Jesus is. But what was it that caused them to miss who Jesus is? What was that barrier that stopped them? And taken from John chapter 5, verse 30 to 47, well, that's a very long section, so I'm going to sum it up for us. What happened was Jesus, he healed a paralytic. By all means, healing someone of his ailments is a good thing, right? Why would they be unhappy about it? They were unhappy because he did it on Sunday. He did it on Sabbath. To the Pharisees and Sadducees, it was shocking. It's something that they cannot understand because it's their law. Their law was to say you are supposed to rest on Sabbath. But Jesus did it on Sabbath. And when he was confronted by them, Jesus responded by saying, he is the Son of God, and he was equal to God. And this claim made those leaders angry because they knew the scripture so well. They knew what he was referencing. But they did not think that Jesus was the one that the scripture was talking about. But he went on to explain and elaborate by telling them that he did not make the claims for himself. And there were others who came before him to make certain of his role and his position. And he even cited Moses for confirmation. Let us take a look at verse 39 to 40. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. And in 46, it says, for if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? From this passage, from this section, there's something that we can draw out. It is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the teachers of the law, they were missing one thing when they read the Old Testament. It is not that they did not read. It is not that they did not know. It's not that they were not interested in it. They were. But when you miss something, it's so infuriating. It's like an itch on your back that you cannot reach. For someone who knows the word of Old Testament, they knew what Jesus was claiming. But they did not have the right perspective to look at the Old Testament in regards to Jesus. When we look at the Bible, when we read the Bible, we lack that understanding. So it's like you looking at the Bible and you're trying to understand who God is. And that is the perspective that most people would have. But What you're missing is Jesus. Because when we read the scriptures, we're attempting to understand who God is. We are trying to understand what He is saying and what God is going to do, what is happening. We read it, but the words remains as just narrative. It remains as just storyline. Therefore, when we read the Bible, it's not about reading about just about the creation or just about leaving Egypt or about the wars, about the promised land. It's not about reading the Psalms to be encouraged. It's not about reading epistles to find solutions to our problems. The Bible is more than that. With the right perspective to help us understand not just the Old Testament, but Jesus, that perspective is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. So when we have Jesus as part of our perspective in reading the scriptures, we slowly understand who God is. God is revealed to us through Jesus. All scriptures talk about Jesus. Like the song we sang just now, from the beginning to the end, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Jesus is the key. But from where can we see that? Going back to the passage shared by Carson this morning, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From these two verses, we can see that the Word that was with God became flesh, that is Jesus. And in verse 18, it says that no one has ever seen God. And the only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Yes, no one has ever seen God. But now we have Jesus, who was by the side of God since creation. We can see that He became flesh in verse 1 to 3. We can see that in verse 14, He's around for us to see and to understand. And that is the key to knowing who our God is. The key to understanding more about God. In the Old Testament, God has always communicated through various people. But none of them saw God. One of them saw the burning bush. The other one saw Him in the passing wind. But none of them really saw who God was. They did not see His face. But in Jesus Christ, God revealed His nature and essence in a way that can be seen, that can be touched. God became the man who lived on earth. And Jesus is the Word that was with God at the beginning, and the Word that became flesh is Jesus. Jesus has come to reveal and to explain God to us. That is why we need to understand the Bible through Jesus, and that is why when we read the Bible, it helps us to understand God even better. Jesus is the key to unlocking, decoding, understanding this scripture and the treasure that is in the Old Testament. Our God doesn't change. Our God that we believe in is the constant God. God does not change from a wrathful and angry God to a merciful God after you flip a page from the last book of Old Testament, Malachi, to Matthew, the first book in New Testament. He is the same. The message of salvation and mercy is the same. It is consistent throughout the whole Bible. Therefore, we need to read the Bible, not just the New Testament, not just the easy parts, but the Old Testament as well. It can be challenging. Jesus helps us to understand who God is through the Bible. And through Jesus, we're given this complete perspective of God. Without reading the Old Testament, you can always read the New Testament. But it's like watching Avengers Endgame without the other movies. Yeah, we can always watch Endgame as just a movie by itself. But you would never know why. Why did 2012 is such a significant year for them? Why did Captain America say, Bucky is not dead? And you will not understand where did the stones come from? Why are there six of them? It is the same for New Testament. You could definitely read New Testament as a standalone book. You can understand it. You can, oh yes, Jesus is King. Jesus is merciful. He is here for us. But without the Old Testament, you don't get a complete picture. You don't understand why is Jesus here. That is why Old Testament is equally important as the New Testament. But it's not just about reading the Old Testament. It's about reading it with the right perspective. Perspective from Jesus' point of view, with Him as the key to unlocking the mysteries. And with that in mind, that is a way to help us understand and to know what God has planned for us. When we read the scriptures, we understand who Jesus is. Through the New Testament, through the Old Testament, we understand what Jesus is doing. We understand what is He trying to say. And we slowly understand who God is, what God is trying to say. Up till here right now, it seems like a whole chunk of yada, yada, yada. Yeah, 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 we know. We have to do that. But you know what? Canaan, I did not go to Regent College. I did not have a theological degree. I did not spend thousands of money to understand the Bible. It's a big and uncontainable idea. It appears to be that way, but it can be distilled into one simple thing. It's to be curious. Curious. Curious about what? It's to be curious about the Bible. We have to be curious about what the Bible is saying and what it is referencing. Right now, let us take a look at Matthew 21, verse 8 to 16 as an example, and I'll read it out slowly so that we can all catch it. So in 8, it says, "Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'That is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.' And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeon. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it in a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what this are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" Now, this passage seems very familiar. Most of us would straight away, yep, that is a triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem before the Passover or on the Passover. Well, you might think, yep, this passage is easy, but it simply shows us that Jesus is king, and that is all. But where? Where can we see that it says that Jesus is king? Let us ask a few questions. Let us be a bit more curious about what the Bible is saying. The first question is, what is the significance of the cloaks and the branches? Is there any significance? Actually, yes, there is. When you look at 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "Then in haste every man of them took his garment and put it under him on the bare steps, and they blew the trumpet and proclaimed, 'Jehu is king.'" And this action is done by the Jews to proclaim that you are my king. What did that mean? It meant that in time of Jesus, they were doing the exact same thing to Jesus to proclaim that, "Jesus, you are king." That's the first place where we can see that Jesus is king. Now, second question, what does Hosanna mean? Is there any meaning to it? Well, I'm quite sure there's a meaning because we sing the song Hosanna to the highest, right? Hosanna, Hosanna. But what does Hosanna actually mean? It actually comes from Psalms 118, verse 25, where it says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord, we pray, give us success." Hosanna actually means, "Oh, save." But "Oh, save" and Hosanna seems kind of different, right? If we look at the Hebrew word, Hosanna actually is written as Hoshiana in Hebrew. Huh. And now when we transliterate it into Greek, it becomes Hosanna. And there it goes, Hosanna, Hosanna, all the way until now. Hosanna, it means, "Oh, save." Now we see what it means. But in that time and that era, that context where they were under Roman rule, the people were shouting out, "Oh, save, oh, save," to someone that they were declaring to be king. Now, what does it show then? And they call out, Son of David. Who? Who is this Son of David? Who? You look around and you don't see anyone. But it's actually in reference to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 16. Specifically verse 14 where it says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will disciple him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the Son of Man. This section explicitly states that Jesus will come from the line of David. And right here, it's saying out to you, God is going to be the father of this son, hence the name Son of God. This established the fact that Jesus is the Son of God from the line of David. That would further establish Jesus' claim that he is the king and he is equivalent to God. The next question is, why were the priests indignant? Why did they feel angry? Why? Why were they indignant at the title that the children gave? It is because Jesus is claiming to be Messiah. For Jesus to acknowledge the praise from the mouth of children meant that he was declaring through them his Messiahship. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not fully agree because they think that the scriptures are not talking about Jesus. They think that Jesus is blaspheming. Therefore, they were indignant. Now let us look at question 5, which is why? Why did Jesus answer that way? Why did Jesus say to the Pharisees, have you not read out from the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise? When we look at Psalms 8, verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. This scripture taken from Psalm 8 is recorded. It says the exact same thing. For the Pharisees and the Sadducees who know the Bible so well, they know where Jesus was quoting from. They know where he's referencing from. But they did not accept that claim. And let us ask one last question. Why did the children and not the priests declare Hosanna? When we look at Matthew 11:25, it says that the wise and the understand were wise in the view of the world. Yes, the wise knew the scripture, but they were stubborn. They were unrepentant. They failed to understand the scriptures in light of who Jesus was. And on the other hand, the little children, they were of simple faith. And that is why the praise came from children and not the priests. Having asked all this question, we are faced with the biggest one. So what? What now? I ask all the questions, but how is it relevant? Here's the next step. The next step is for us to look at the scriptures again with this new perspective, with these new questions. Let us paraphrase this conversation and look at it once more. Imagine yourself to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe or a leader, and you're right there in Jerusalem right now. Imagine yourself to be living under the Roman rule. And the Roman emperor, he was like, okay, it's all right. I let you rule your people as long as all of you remain loyal to me. But all of a sudden, in a short span of 3 years, a nobody, someone from a small little town, a carpenter, he came and he entered into Jerusalem, and people were calling him king. King! They're calling him save us. You see the commoners taking off their cloaks. You see them putting their branches on the ground. And you hear them cry, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Save us! Save us, Son of David! And you think to yourself, what preposterous claims are those? How dare these commoners treat a nobody like a king at Jerusalem? Where is the temple? Where is the king that used to rule? How can they do this? How dare they? You're filled with that anger. You're filled with that indignance. How dare they? And when you ask Jesus, how dare you accept that claim? His response is, so what? So what if I am taking these claims? I am God. How angry would you be to be slapped verbally by someone who was just a carpenter? Oh, that indignant feeling that you have right there. How can you accept that? You read the scriptures, you see what it's saying, and you see this in front of you. You see the crowd celebrating, you see the crowd proclaiming. The line has been drawn right there. It's either you join in and you celebrate and you proclaim that Jesus is king, or you take up a stone and you throw it at him, for Jesus is blaspheming. Where do you stand right now? Do you still treat the Old Testament like a storybook, a book of law? Or do you see it as the prophecies coming to life right in front of your face? Do you realize that Jesus is the man that has been prophesied? What do you do? The conversation now has become a very different one. If we did not know the various references that Jesus used from the Old Testament, if we do not understand the Old Testament through the perspective of Jesus, we will not be able to fully understand the claims of Jesus. We will not be able to fully understand that Jesus is right in front of our eyes. Therefore, we will not even understand the significance of Matthew 21, where we are proclaiming Jesus to be king. It is like return of the king, but you do not know who your king is. The lack of curiosity takes away the appreciation of what Jesus has done, the appreciation of what Jesus is saying to you. Right now, there's a lot of dynamics going on in the New Testament, but without curiosity, without knowing the Old Testament, we don't understand the full and complete picture. We don't understand that Jesus was talking about Psalm 8. We don't understand that the cloaks represented, I'm proclaiming you to be king. We don't understand most of it. We just know that Jesus is entering Jerusalem and people are celebrating that fact. Therefore, it is important for us to look at the scriptures with an understanding. Look at the whole Bible from Old Testament to New Testament and to fully understand it through the perspective of Jesus. And Jesus explicitly tells us to do just that in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13 to 49, it's about the resurrection of Jesus. It happens after that. And these two disciples were on their way to meet the rest. And in verse 32, Jesus goes on to share with them a scene in 32 where they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And in 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus himself stated that. He put it out there for us to read, for us to hear, for us to know. Therefore, we have to read the Bible. Not just read the Bible. It's not just looking at the words and let the words float off the pages. No. It is to understand the Bible through the perspective of Jesus. It is for us to know what the Bible is trying to reveal to us about God. We are no longer in Sunday school. The time for us to be spoon-fed is over. When you see a baby crawling at 2 years old, they're like, aww, you can crawl, that's so cute. But if you see a 59-year-old man, a 60-year-old man crawling on the ground, you'll be like, dude, get up and walk. It's odd. It's disgusting if someone tries to be like a baby at 60 years old. So we have to be curious about the Bible. We have to want to know more what the Bible is trying to tell us. If you have access to a study Bible, there are various references at a side margin. They're kind of small right here, but it's there. When you read the scriptures and ask questions, that is how you can find out more. If you do not have a study Bible, it's time to invest in one. Disclaimer right here, I am not getting paid any advertising fees to say this. But one of the tools that I do use is the study Bible, ESV study Bible. An ESV study Bible costs about $70. That might seem like a lot, but actually, look at it from a different perspective. It's 10 bubble tea. It's 10 Starbucks. And you're going to use it for the next 10 years. So if you average it out, it's $7 a year. Instead of buying that one more bubble tea, one more Starbucks, why not? Let's save that money and buy a study Bible. So that when we know more about God, when we equip ourselves with His Word, His presence, we allow ourselves to be drawn into God, to be in communion with Him. Let us together be curious about the Bible. Let us together want to know more about the Bible, to read the living Word, and to see God being revealed to us through the Scriptures. Let us pray. Almighty Father, I pray to You that You open my eyes. I pray to You that I may behold the wondrous thing out of Your law, out of Your words, out of Your book. Father, I give thanks to You that You have commissioned different authors of the book to write a complete message of salvation, of mercy and grace. I pray to You that You open my eyes to show us Your glory. I pray to You that You open my eyes to see Jesus for who He is, Your Son, the Messiah, salvation and grace. I pray to You that You reveal Yourself to us through Your words. And I pray that we will be curious about Your words, be curious about You. This day, Father, I pray that You renew our hearts and open our eyes to see You through reading of Your words, and to keep these words close to our hearts and to know You more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yes, God, let us see and read the Bible through Your perspective, through Jesus' perspective. Let us all rise and sing. Before You, with its foundation, You spoke the dust into creation until the end. When all has withered, then still Your word will endure forever. The lamp unto my feet, light into my path. Oh, Your word will not be shaken. Your word will never fail me. Like a fire in my bones, like a whisper to my soul, Your word is
revelation.
Say one more time.
Your word Like a fire in my bones, like a whisper to my soul, your word is revelation.
Let me bless you with the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man when his delight is in the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man when his delight is in the word of the Lord, and on his word he meditates day and night. And I bless you with this. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that you do, you prosper. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that you do, you prosper. Receive the benediction. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise the word of God. Do not despise the word of God. And rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless. Be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.